Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, May the 7th. We'll talk about the race for the White House as it traveled through Indiana and North Carolina yesterday. We focused on Barack Obama's big win in North Carolina in our last hour. This hour, we'll focus a bit more on Hillary Clinton's win, narrow win, in Indiana.
Long ago, my opponent made a prediction. He said I would probably win Pennsylvania, he would win North Carolina, and Indiana would be the tiebreaker. Well, tonight we've come from behind, we've broken the tie, and thanks to you, it's full speed on to the White House.
So, what do we make of that? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Should it be full speed ahead for Hillary Clinton? Our guest is Diane Pinderhughes, who is a professor in the Departments of Political Science and Africana Studies at the University of Notre Dame. She is also the author of Race and Ethnicity in Chicago Politics, and she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what does this mean that Hillary Clinton won this so-called tiebreaker in Indiana?
Well, I think it means that the win was such a narrow win that it took until about, I think it was about 1 o'clock in the morning.
That's right. I was watching it after 2 in Central Time. So
get a clear decision on what the outcome of the race would be. So even though she won the election, it's by almost as narrow a margin as you can get and still win, which was about 50.9% for Senator Clinton and 49.1% for Senator Obama.
Mm-hmm.
So that effort on her part and the part of her speech last night that you quoted or you played for your audience was really a bit of bravura on the part of Senator Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Commentators this morning were noting, and I noted this as well, President Clinton's standing behind her, and the expression on his face was not one of a victory.
Yeah, he looked very bummed out.
And yes, he did.
Yeah.
So it's such a narrow win in Indiana, and, of course, a very strong win for Senator Obama in North Carolina, that it's really we're on the head of a pin, but it's really a point of, I think, of departure where people see that it's going to be very difficult for her to win election.
Yeah. Well,
Win the nomination.
Right. She did, as she stated, though, come from behind. I don't know. It was a narrow victory, but a win is a win, isn't it?
But you could make that argument much earlier in the campaign for the nomination. But with the majority of the Democratic Party's delegates assigned at this point, or at least by a variety of primaries and commitments on the part of the delegates, we're at this point, not without the delegates from Indiana or North Carolina assigned, Senator Obama has 1,819 delegates, and Senator Clinton has 1,671. The winner needs 2,025. When you add these proportionally assigned states, Senator Obama will get considerably closer. Let's see, North Carolina has about 115 pledged, and Indiana has 72 pledged, and each of them has about 19. Well, North Carolina has 19 unpledged, and Indiana 13 unpledged. So when you sign those, then Senator Obama gets about very close to 2,000 delegates, in which case he needs about 25 or 30 more to win.
Yeah. One of the reasons I hear that the the results, the actual declaration of Hillary Clinton's win took so long was because the county that Gary, Indiana, is in, is that Lake County?
That's right.
It took a very, very long time to get in, and that was an important county to watch because of it being in the Chicago media market. Tell us about whether or not the fact that Hillary Clinton took Indiana when it is next to the home state of Barack Obama says anything at all about whether Barack Obama was wounded by the troubles on his campaign over the past month or so, like Reverend Jeremiah Wright.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a fair question. Indiana is a state with a population that is predominantly white. It's about, I think the percentages for blacks are about 8% of the state, with a significant portion of them concentrated in Lake County, which is where Gary is, Hammond, et cetera. But the bulk of the black population in that Lake County, which is immediately next to the east of the state line of Illinois, the bulk of that group is in Gary. Statewide, I think Indiana is generally viewed as a conservative state. It's usually a Republican state in the general election. I think that Obama himself predicted that he would take Indiana. And not necessarily by a large margin, but expected that he'd pull it away from her. That would have depended upon stronger showing among white voters, his showing among white men in the state was about 58%, 41% for Obama. Clinton won 58% of the white men. Obama won 39% of the white women. Of course, he won 92% of the black men and black women in the state. But they are, black men are 7%, black women 8% of the state, whereas white men are 36%, white women 45% of the state. It's an interesting state. It's got, you know, the northern tier is industrial, a mix of industrial and agricultural. The center parts of the state include Indianapolis, which is a very large, it also includes Marion County with a large portion of blacks in the state. Both Marion County and Lake County have 25% black populations. The southern part of the state, smaller percent black and more agricultural, but there's an interesting mix of industrial and agricultural in...
Excuse me, Professor Pender-Hughes, I need to jump in because we're at a weather break time. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 19 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, May the 7th. More talk about the race for the White House and the primaries in Indiana and North Carolina coming up later this morning between 9 and 11 with Kathleen Dunn on Talk of the Nation between 1 and 3 this afternoon, and then during At Issue this afternoon between 4 and 6. So plenty of talk about presidential politics and the race for the White House coming your way here on the Ideas Network. We are doing that, too, during this hour, focusing some on the outcome in Indiana, as we are talking with a political analyst in Indiana. Diane Pender-Hughes is a professor in the Departments of Political Science and Africana Studies at the University of Notre Dame. She is the author of Race and Ethnicity in Chicago Politics, and we welcome your questions and your reactions for her at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our lines are full, Professor Pender-Hughes. Let me just go to the phones,
okay,
and we'll take first Linda in Monroe. Hi, Linda. You're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
I feel that they should continue the debate, and Hillary should debate Senator Obama without an MC, which he wants to do and he doesn't, because the number one issue is still the economy, and they're not talking about it. Now, Senator Obama is outspending her by three times. Now, Senator McCain wants to cut all the farm subsidies, and if that's fair, then they should cut all the oil royalties, which I think...
Yeah, Linda, we're not talking about the farm subsidies and oil royalties right now, but what about, you know, her comments that Hillary Clinton should continue to fight on since she won Indiana?
That's a question to me.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question but that Senator Clinton will continue. She's got a race next week in West Virginia, I believe. And I think there are a couple of states where she's expected to do well, and there are some states where he's expected to do well. So I don't think Senator Clinton is going to back out right now. However, I watching one of the networks last night, had former mayor of San Francisco, Willie Brown, and former speaker of the California Assembly, Willie Brown, on talking about this. And he made an interesting point. He argued that Senator Clinton is in the situation that he would compare to Reverend Jackson back in the 1980s when he was running for the Democratic nomination. And he argued that Reverend Jackson did not win, but he continued to the convention and was able to negotiate some significant bargaining chips, one of which was Ron Brown as chairman of the Democratic National Committee, who made a very important contribution to the election of former Governor Bill Clinton as president.
Yeah, I don't want to go too far afield here, but I heard that some commentators yesterday talking about, yes, that Hillary Clinton is sticking in it to, you know, have this negotiating power, that no, she doesn't want to be VP, but one of her supporters has to be VP, and who was it? Well, somebody said it's going to be Wesley Clark. You want to comment on that?
I would expect that Wesley Clark might not be her strongest bargaining chick.
Okay, that's a kind way to put it.
certainly not in terms of a balance for Senator Obama.
Yeah,
I would think that some other person of a different type would be a stronger possibility as a vice president. That might even be Senator Clinton. Whether she'd agree to accept it, you know, who can say in politics? But the stranger things have happened.
Yeah. The economy, the number one issue in Indiana yesterday when people went to vote?
I think there are a mix of things that the population in the state was concerned about. I think probably the economy, the oil prices, no, without question. That's what Senator Clinton was trying to do with her gas tax, the period of suspending the gas tax,
right,
so that it would reduce the cost of oil. I think people are concerned about losing their jobs, or the jobs literally moving out of the state. I do think that is one of the things that made a difference.
Yeah. Next, we go to Lenny in Madison. Hi, Lenny. Lenny, try again. No, I'm sorry, Lenny.
Yeah.
You can try back if you'd like to, but your cell phone went out on us. Liz in Dodgeville. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say I'm enjoying the program, but my husband and I decided kind of spur of the moment a weekend ago to go down to Lafayette to do some canvassing.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents live on a farm in Indiana. It's kind of a rural thing. So I guess I would say Indiana, first of all, is such a different state than Illinois. Mm-hmm. And I know because we have lots of cousins. My parents live there. It's a very conservative state. And as we were canvassing in Lafayette, where Purdue University is there, but we were in pretty, I would say, lower income neighborhoods, I was struck by a couple things. One, I was struck by the number of undecided voters just a week ago, and I was struck by the number of people who didn't know who they were going to vote for, but they definitely were being very bitter and definitely were not going to vote for Hillary.
Hmm.
And the other thing that made me sad, because, I mean, if my candidate, which is Barack Obama, doesn't win, I will certainly vote for Hillary Clinton.
Hmm.
But there were several African-American men who said that if Hillary gets the nomination, they are just going to sit on their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like for Hillary to continue in the race when she cannot get enough delegates is such, a shameful and egotistical thing on her part. I just, you know, I know that Barack Obama was damaged by Reverend Wright, but I think that what she's doing is so wrong, and I feel bad about that. She's basically doing the dirty work of the Republican Party when we should be focusing on John McCain and the fact that no one high up in the military is even supporting him. I feel like we're just losing valuable time.
I think that there are a number of political observers who would agree with you. I do think, however, that yesterday's results suggest that she doesn't have a lot more time left in which she can be a credible candidate, in which it's I think it's become pretty obvious already, in fact, that she's not going to win the nomination. She's not going to be able to accumulate enough delegates, nor at this point enough votes by primary voters. So it has challenged the party for sure, in the sense that they're, you know, the candidates slogging out state after state, and the outcomes shifting, and also with some proportion of the population saying that they would be unhappy or would be satisfied only if one or the other wins. For example, the results for Indiana yesterday show that 99% would be satisfied only if Clinton wins. That is, these are Clinton voters who said they would only be satisfied if Clinton wins. And in terms of the Obama voters, 99% said the same thing. But 37% of the people who voted on the exit polls said that they would be satisfied if either wins.
Yeah. Thanks, Liz. John in Boscobel. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I think part of my question has been answered, but I first of all want to say that I'm a lifelong Chicago area Democrat. I've not read your book that has been mentioned, but I will.
Oh, good.
I will look forward to it. But I guess the main question is, I believe that Hillary should step down. You know, as David Axelrod pointed out today in the Tribune, that numbers are numbers. I mean, that mathematically, it's over. But do you think she will, and do you think she should? I guess that those are my two questions. So thank you, and I'll take it off the air.
Okay. Thank you, John. Will she? Yes, she will. She may not do it right away. For example, some things that were being said on television last night were that she didn't have any appearances scheduled on the morning programs.
Yeah, she canceled them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. But and that she didn't have anything scheduled all day. Well, now this morning they said that she had scheduled an appearance in West Virginia, in order to make sure mm-hmm. that it's clear to people that she's continuing. But that's more of a, I think that's probably not a, it's just to try to make it appear that she's continuing. But she can't at this point. She's not going to win. She can't win enough pledged or unpledged delegates. She can't win enough superdelegates to win the race.
We only have 30 seconds before news break.
I think she should step down.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I'll talk a little bit more about that superdelegate issue when we come back after the news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, talking about the primary election results from Indiana, in particular during this hour with Diane Pinder-Hughes, a professor at the University of Notre Dame. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Wednesday, May the 7th, talking about the presidential primaries and the results yesterday in North Carolina and Indiana. Senator Barack Obama won big in North Carolina, and lost narrowly to Senator Hillary Clinton in Indiana. We are talking with a political analyst who is in Indiana, focusing on that state, talked about North Carolina a little bit more in our last hour. Our guest is Diane Pinder-Hughes, a professor in the Departments of Political Science and Africana Studies at the University of Notre Dame, author of the book Race and Ethnicity in Chicago Politics. Welcoming your reactions to the results yesterday at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Heard from a caller who wanted to know if our guest thought that Hillary Clinton should or would drop out of the race for the Democratic nomination for president. And our guest said, yes, she should, and yes, she probably will. Wondering if you agree or not, or want to react to that as well. Professor Pinderhughes, what about the Clinton campaign's so-called big state strategy, or at least swing state strategy, that Hillary Clinton is the one who has shown that she can win the rural voters in states like Pennsylvania and Ohio, not just the rural voters, mm-hmm. but the working class voters, mm-hmm. and that Barack Obama has not necessarily shown that he can pick up those voters in the fall.
Those are two different issues. We're talking about the primary, and she did win more strongly, obviously.
Yeah, but their argument is that, yes, she won in Pennsylvania and uh-huh. Ohio because she appeals to the working class and the, you know, the rural voters, and because supposedly these are like Reagan Democrats, that those folks would go for McCain if Hillary Clinton wasn't the nominee.
That's her argument. And the issue of who gets the nomination is based on a set of rules that were set up some time ago, and that Senator Obama has done a much better job of running given the context of the rules. Now, if you want to make an argument about who's running well in particular parts of the Democratic constituency, the question is not so much that he can't win them. She obviously did better with those voters. Mm-hmm. And those voters are, I mean, another issue about this campaign, of course, is race, which it's been played out in ways related to the Reverend Wright's of the campaign, and Reverend Wright himself putting himself in the last couple of weeks. But a different question is whether Senator Obama can make a direct appeal to these voters in the general election and win. If these are Democratic voters, you raise the point of whether or not they're Reagan Democrats and whether they would then shift to McCain. In the general election, we're going to have the candidates talk directly to economic issues, what kind of policies they consult their economists mm-hmm. on about what should be done with and for the country. And we know that Senator McCain is a self-acknowledged, you know, learner in terms of economic issues. I think that Senator Obama would be making hard charge at these voters. He's done for example, in his speech last night, he made a run back at some of the questions that people had been asking him about in recent weeks about his own ability to appeal to white voters. And he talked mm-hmm. about his parents, his grandparents, his white grandparents, as well as his black grandparents, trying to make an appeal to these kinds of voters. And the fact that In Indiana, for example, he won 41% of white male voters. You know, clearly a much stronger run by Senator Clinton in the state. He won 39% of white female voters, much stronger by Senator Clinton. Whether all of those voters would shift to Senator McCain, the party, the delegates, the superdelegates are going to have to consider that, but Senator Obama's nailed the election, nailed the nomination at this point. So the question then becomes, how does he manage his campaign? How does he appeal? What kind of strategy does he use to appeal to those mm-hmm. previous Reagan Democrats?
Yeah. And
it's not a simple question.
No, it's not. And when you say he's nailed the nomination, superdelegates can decide for whatever reason they want to go with a particular candidate.
That's right.
But you're saying that there's enough already that have said they're going with Obama?
Well, when I say nail, what I'm really yeah. talking about is the fact that he won North Carolina so decisively, mm-hmm. That he narrowly won Indiana. He already had a strong lead going into these two primaries. And the strength of his win in North Carolina and the splitting the vote in Indiana means that he wins significant numbers. He wins proportionally in each state. he wins somewhat larger than the median number of delegates in North Carolina, and he wins. He and Senator Clinton literally split the delegates in Indiana, mm-hmm. which pushes him within. It puts him really within about 30 votes mm-hmm. of the numbers needed. Number of delegates needed to win the nomination.
Joy in Eau Claire is with us. Hi, Joy.
Hi. I have a question. Had Florida and Michigan been included in these delegates, would you feel as strongly about Obama winning? Because Clinton did win there, and I know that neither really campaigned, but that tells me they basically voted on issues alone and not personalities.
Well, okay. Now, Joy, WPR Joy, mm-hmm. help me with this now. Senator Clinton, Senator Obama was not on the ballot in Michigan.
That's right.
They were both on the ballot in Florida, but he campaigned in, you know, he wasn't even present on the ballot in Michigan. He didn't campaign in Florida. And I don't believe she campaigned in Florida, but the point is, you know, she still kept her campaign active in that state.
She kept her name on the ballot in Michigan when the other leading Democrats took their names off.
Withdrew. Mm-hmm. So Joy in Eau Claire, your point is that the outcome in those elections prove that she is a stronger candidate because of the appearance. But the fact is, without his appearance on the ballot in Michigan, and without him, obviously, if he didn't have his name on the ballot, he didn't campaign. And his lack of campaigning in Florida, because of the fact that Florida and Michigan didn't abide by the party's rules about when they were to schedule their primary elections. You can debate about whether that was an appropriate set of rules, but those were the rules that they ran on, and that the candidates at the time they set them agreed to. That tells us that Senator Obama would have certainly have broken even in those states if he'd been actively campaigning, and if he'd been on the ballot in Michigan. Given Michigan's, given the black population in Detroit, given the working class population there, given the Democratic, the strength of the Democratic Party in that state, I would expect that Senator Obama would have done, you know, would certainly at least have split the vote with Clinton. I don't think it would have been a runaway for either one of them.
I'm going to check weather and then more calls for Diane Pinderhughes, professor in the Departments of Political Science and Africana Studies at the University of Notre Dame. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, as we examine the primary election results from yesterday's vote in Indiana and North Carolina, for that matter, and wonder where this race goes from here. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up after 8 o'clock, the economy, the number one concern for most Americans during this election year. After 8, we will welcome in a guest who will demystify the economy. We will talk with the author of the new book, Crunch, Why Do I Feel So Squeezed? And Other Unsolved Economic Mysteries, coming up after 8. Right now, we're talking about the primary election results in Indiana, where Hillary Clinton managed a very narrow victory over Barack Obama yesterday. Barack Obama scoring a much bigger victory over Hillary Clinton in North Carolina. Our next caller is Chet in Athens. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I have a question for your guest about yesterday's result. I was wondering, is there any effect by that obscene fraudulent campaign promoted by Limbaugh's company called Operation Chaos, telling Republicans to vote, change their status for one day just to keep Hillary getting winning the primary so that she can continue to bloody up Obama? Mm-hmm. Or is that just another scheme by the man with a half a brain?
Well, did you
take a position on Limbaugh?
Yeah, so did Operation Chaos have an effect in Indiana, do you think?
You know, I have to admit that I started hearing about that yesterday evening, but I didn't quite. Thank you to your caller, Chet, for explaining what that was. I didn't really know what had been happening on that. If it did work, let's say it worked. it suggests that it was only with that support that Senator Clinton was able to win the state. But what proportion of the votes that she won? Probably a very narrow one. If it didn't work, then Senator Clinton has narrowly beaten Senator Obama. And it didn't strengthen her position well enough for her to be able to stay in the race credibly. She's going to say she's staying in the race, but most of the, I think most political observers and the political activists, the Democratic Party leadership is probably ready to begin the negotiations.
Yeah. Another caller who dropped off maybe on a cell phone who wanted to know or thought that Barack Obama would have won Indiana if it weren't for the photo ID law that has been in the news so much, Indiana's law requiring voters to show a photo ID at the polls.
Well, I don't think anybody can guess that at this point unless they've done some, you know, consistent mm-hmm. observation of how many people were turned away. We've heard that story about the 98-year-old nun in South Bend, and actually here at the University of Notre Dame campus, because they hadn't been driving, they were didn't have mm-hmm. You know, up-to-date passports and so forth. So that's an issue. I think that's too much of a. I think that's too big a leap.
Yeah, John in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning. I guess I'm one of those weird tradition. Maybe I'm not weird anymore, but you know, traditionally supported Democratic senators and voted Republican presidents. But you know, I think like a lot of people who supported Republican presidents this last 8 years has been pretty painful. But when it comes down to Hillary staying in or dropping out, I guess I heard this morning that, and I'm sorry I don't know the right term, but the Rules Committee or whatever for the Democratic
yeah.
Party
mm-hmm.
is going to meet on May 31st
mm-hmm.
and decide, I put my fingers in quotes, the fate of Florida and Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
This could be Hillary Clinton's one chance in her whole life to really compete for president. Why, and I'm a Barack Obama supporter right now,
mm-hmm.
why on earth would she drop out until the Democratic Rules Committee makes their decision on Florida and Michigan?
I think that's exactly the right question, and I don't think she will. When you have that, I mean, we're talking, 3 weeks away from that, that would give her, actually, it wouldn't actually give her much more of a chance, because CNN did an interesting thing last night of looking at a couple of scenarios of how you count the votes, and they added in Florida, and then they added in Michigan, just to see how it would play with the number of votes won. And even when you add those votes in, Senator Obama still ends up being ahead of her. But she gets the chance to make the case in terms of those delegates.
Gotcha. And that makes sense. I just, you know, you get one chance, your competitor, you don't walk away from maybe your one chance to compete.
Yeah, and I think you're right. She's not going to, I think she will drop out, but you're right, she will not drop out before this important Rules Committee meeting of the Democratic National Committee. And that is the group that sets the rules as to how to, they set the original rules for the primaries, and now that they've got this kind of mess with, they can't really ignore Michigan and Florida, they've got to figure out how to adjudicate a very difficult situation.
Yeah. Thank you, John, for the call. Now another John in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks, Joy, for taking the call. First, I'll start with a comment by saying that putting John McCain in the White House this year would be on the scale of a catastrophic event for our country. And every Democrat out there should realize that at this point, including Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Now, back to my question, lead to it by saying that Hillary is a well-accomplished person who has lived in the White House for 8 years. She has accomplished more in her life than most people in this country have. Now, the only thing left for her to do in this life is to be sitting in that top chair, top throne in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
When will she realize that preventing McCain from getting into the White House is more important than her own goal? She should have dropped out of the race back in January. And if she really cared about this country more than about her personal goal,
she would have given all the support to one candidate and joined the front in preventing McCain to get to the White House.
Well, I guess you're saying that she'll decide after May 31st to do that, Professor Pinder Hughes.
Yes, and what my own personal views are, but the person who's running for the leadership position for the country is got to have a strong enough ego to think that she or he is the best person for that role, and so she certainly wouldn't have dropped out, you know, early in 2008, and even after a series of losses, the series that began with February 5th when Senator Obama won a whole string of primary states, she stayed in and won Pennsylvania. I think she clearly thinks very highly of herself and thinks that she should give the voters that chance. So, as you've just quoted me, I think she'll consider, and we'll see what happens at the end of May.
Yeah, when she had her victory speech last night in Indiana and said that, you know, it's full speed now ahead to the White House, she also said this.
No matter what happens, I will work for the nominee of the Democratic Party because we must win in November.
Yeah. So that makes it sound like it's not all about her, Professor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think she was clearly reflecting some ambivalence about, not ambivalence, but you could see the energy was a little different than it had been, you know, even last week.
Erin in Hartford, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I just, in hearing and listening to all the commentary, after John McCain was, you know, officially the Republican nominee, a lot had been said about, oh, the Democrats need to pick somebody. And because people are starting to know John McCain and getting a taste of him. Nobody hears about John McCain. Everybody's talking about Clinton and Obama, which personally I think is great. But I don't think it's hurting whoever the Democratic candidate will be. I don't think it's really hurting them with the public in that people don't know who they are. If you turn on the TV, my two-year-old can pick out who Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton are. He has no clue who John McCain is, but he will walk around and say, Mama, that's Barack Obama, Mama, that's Hillary Clinton, which I think says a lot to people getting to know the candidates and not really knowing or hearing much about John McCain. He's kind of old news. At this point, everybody's talking about Clinton and Barack Obama.
Yeah, Erin, I have to know your toddler's name so we can say we knew him now, because he's going to run for something someday, isn't he?
Someday, I think. I don't know. His idea of the president, he makes rules and plays an instrument. So, you know, he's a little skewed in that area yet. But
anyway, the point is that this is not hurting the Democrats, according to Erin. Nobody's hearing about John McCain. Nobody's talking about John McCain. They all, you know, they're looking at two strong Democrats. What do you think, Professor Pinder Hughes?
Well, I think it's an interesting observation by Erin and an observation of her son, who's obviously got the name recognition thing down already, and an interesting argument. The expectation was McCain could rest and relax, and, you know, he took his tour of Europe, meet international leaders, and he'd be rested and prepared for the general election. And, yes, the Democrats are certainly scrapping, and Obama is certainly, both of the candidates are obviously very, very tired. They've been in a very long race. I think, however, that we're talking, there's a generational difference, obviously, among the candidates, and the thing that's going to be interesting to observe is that while McCain is a very strong campaigner, what kind of things begin to happen when you put the two candidates, you know, the certified candidates next to each other? And with those generational differences, with McCain's his abilities and his knowledge of foreign policy, military issues, lack of knowledge in terms of the economy, we'll see whether that strength on his part is able to compete successfully with a Democratic nominee, whoever that turns out to be.
We will leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us, especially since I know it was a long night and early morning for you.
Right.
Yeah. Diane Pinder-Hughes, professor in the Departments of Political Science and Africana Studies at Notre Dame University in Indiana. Author of the book Race and Ethnicity in Chicago Politics, talking with us about the primary election results yesterday in Indiana. Hillary Clinton declared the winner finally early this morning by 2 percentage points over Barack Obama. Barack Obama, of course, winning much bigger in North Carolina by 14 percentage points over Hillary Clinton. More on the primary election results coming up later today on the Ideas Network. Kathleen Dunn will be talking with guests about what happened and why. Talk of the Nation, an NPR news special, in fact, after 1 this afternoon. And also At Issue with Ben Marins. John Munson filling in for Ben Marins today, talking about the election results. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing this hour and last hour. Thanks to Michelle Kofel for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.